All right, so this morning we're going to continue with our series, our relationships and marriage series. And today we'll be looking at how should a believer choose a spouse? How should a believer choose a spouse? So what I'm going to be doing this morning is going through a number of points. And you know what I say often is that some of the things that I say might sound a bit, should I say old school? But what I say is that I'm not old school, I'm Bible school. So everything that we'll be looking at is what the Bible actually says from the Bible's, from the perspective of the Bible. So today we're going to look at four things, and I'm just going to just point them out in the next few minutes, and we can just, at least I'll try and make all the points. So we'll look at who a Christian single should not marry based on the Bible. Secondly, we'll look at who should a Christian single marry. Third thing we'll look at is how should the Christian single choose who to marry. And if time permits, we'll look at what should the focus of a single Christian be from the perspective of the Bible. Now, like I mentioned, marriage is really, relationships and marriage have such a lasting impact on the lives of people. And I believe that oftentimes it's the relationships that we get into as we grow up that shape our lives. You know, you have, you know, growing up in school, your relationship with your friends. You guys can still remember some of the friends you had in your primary school or your secondary school. Relationship with your brothers or your sisters. So what we see is that, you know, people do not grow in isolation. We do not live in isolation. We're formed by the relationships that we have. So how should a Christian single choose who to marry? That's what we're looking at today. Now, marriage is one of the things that have it has the ability to influence where you're, to influence the direction that your life is going to go into. The direction that your life will go. And it begs the question that we really need to understand that God really needs to help us with this. Now, I mean, I think for a lot of us, sometimes we just, you know, stumbled into marriage or one thing or the other. And, we've ruffled it through sometimes. We've made it through sometimes. Sometimes it hasn't always been like that. But what we want to look at today is God's perspective on how one should choose a spouse. I know maybe some of you are married already and you're like, oh, Pastor, can you talk about something else? This doesn't apply to me. Well, it does, because you can advise people as well who might be hoping to get married in the Christian context. So the first one, who a Christian should not get married to. What the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. It says a Christian should not marry someone who is not a Christian. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Now, these are quite strong words. And someone might think, you know what? I mean, come on, this is too strong. Are you trying to tell me that as a Christian, I can only marry a Christian? You need to lighten up, you know, Pastor. This is just, well, this is what the Bible says. Now, this has quite a few ramifications for the Christian. Because as a Christian, if you marry someone that is not, even though you guys might love one another, it can, you know, bring you guys to a point where you have so many, opposing views, that that relationship will come under a lot of stress. Do you understand? For example, as a Christian, you might be like, okay, I believe that, you know, God wants me to do this in a particular way. God wants me to approach things in this way. But for the non-Christian, it might be like, you know, that's not going to have that. That's too religious. So you begin to see that a lot of things begin to happen and pushes that relationship in a direction that it shouldn't go. But that's just me speaking. God looks at it from a very slightly more serious perspective. That is why he makes this analogy. He says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. He says, what does righteousness have with wickedness? Those are strong words. What does light, or what can light have with darkness? So God views this from a very, very strong perspective. It's not just a casual, you know, a casual suggestion, so to speak. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 34 to 35, it says something about a man in the Bible called Esau. Now, in Israel, God had already told the Israelites that, look, well, had told his parents, had made promises to Abraham that my seed is going to come through, you know, this bloodline. So I want you guys to understand that you cannot just marry anyone. You have to marry someone in the line. But this young man, well, at this time, said he was 40 years old. And he married Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Basemath, daughter of Elion, the Hittite. And this is quite an interesting verse. It says, they were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. These were his parents. So the Bible was telling us here that there was something that this Esau guy did. He married, in this context, an unbeliever. And the Bible points out something very subtle there. He says that because of this, his parents were grieved. Why were they grieved? They were grieved because they understood the implication that it will have on Esau's life. They understood that, you know what, the path that this guy has taken now might probably lead him away from God's plan. Now, if you look at the life of Esau, you begin to see that his life just, you know, goes in a direction that is not really, you know, what God actually planned for him. And I must say so that for a pastor, I believe, and for maybe Christian parents, that their children, you know, were brought up as Christians or that go to a particular church, and they go out and they marry people who are not Christians. For the pastor, I can tell you, it's a source of grief. And the Bible says something. And I'll look at that later. So we begin to see that this is, in God's eyes, quite serious because of the plan that he has for us. All right, so we've said that who should a Christian single not marry? So that's one. Now, the other one is this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. As a Christian person, as a believer, we are advised not to marry a Christian that is lazy. What do I mean by lazy? I'll explain that in a minute. You see, Adam, when God made Adam, before Adam got married, there was something that he was doing. It says, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. It says here, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So the Bible describes people who are lazy as sluggards. It says they crave things, they desire something, looking for the next deal, you know, and just staying idle. Do you understand? The Bible says don't marry that kind of person who has no intention of doing anything at all. What that person wants to do is just wake up in the morning, watch this is just watch daytime TV till the end, and that's all they want to do. Bible says don't marry that kind of person, even if they're a Christian. Bible calls them sluggards, lazy people. Do you understand what I mean? That is someone who has made up their mind that, you know what, I'm not going to do anything at all. I'm just going to relax, in quote. So don't marry that kind of person, even if they're a Christian. Now the third one, and after this I'll move on. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, King James. Proverbs chapter 14, 14. The Bible says, don't marry a Christian who the Bible describes as a backslider in heart. A backslider in heart. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A backslider is the person that is like, you know what? Why are you going to church? This church business, it's too much. Okay, from today, you're only permitted to go to church once a year when it's your birthday. Or, you know, and they have all manner of, all kinds of things to say about the church. Some of them might be valid, but we're talking about people who maybe they used to go to church or they're Christians, but really in their hearts, they just go for, you know, to really just, you know, mark the register. They're not really interested in God. Just don't marry that kind of person. Don't. So it says, who should a Christian not marry? So we've looked at those. Second thing is, who should a Christian really marry? Now, we saw there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, that we looked at earlier. A Christian should marry a fellow Christian. A fellow Christian. Now, if you look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. So what that tells us is this. As a Christian, you want to put it at the back of your mind as a believer that these kind of people, this the people that we've, you know, that the Bible has outlined, we shouldn't get involved with, that we don't want to get involved with them. And you should marry someone who is a believer. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So what this means is that for someone who is not a Christian, working in deep relationship with someone that is going to be quite a challenging one, because there'll just be all that, you know, rubbing against, you know, opinions rubbing together and stuff like that. So it becomes quite challenging. It becomes quite challenging. Now, someone might say, okay, that's fine. How about the case where two people got married when they were not Christians, one becomes a Christian, then what happens in that scenario? Nothing. In Corinthians, he says that if someone is married to someone who is not a Christian, maybe you guys, you know, were not Christians before you got married and one becomes a Christian, what should the Christian do? Nothing. The Bible says in that circumstance, the Christian should use their Christian values to win their spouse over. Do you understand? Now, he didn't say if, for example, the husband is a Christian now and the wife is not, or vice versa, that person who is a Christian should wake up and wave the Bible in their face. Hey, read this Bible verse. Read this Bible verse. You know, this thing you're doing. No, 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 no. Bible says, do not do that. Don't do that. Just do what you need to do. Love, if it's your wife that's not a Christian, you love her the same way you loved her before you became a Christian. And that by your behavior, you will win them over. Not by your nagging or by your threats or by pasting Bible verses, sending them text or Bible verses every day saying the wicked man is an unbeliever. Come on. He says don't do that. He says in that kind of situation, you stay there and let your Christian walk show as evidence that, you know what, being a Christian now, life has changed for me. And your husband or your wife in that circumstance can look and say, you know what? I never used to really like Christians before, but the way my wife behaves or my husband behaves, I think, do you understand? That's what the Bible says. So the third thing, how should a Christian single choose who to marry? So we've looked at who a Christian shouldn't marry. We've looked at who a Christian should marry. Now, how should the Christian single choose who to marry? Now, this is the part that it becomes slightly tricky. The first thing is this, and that's from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Now, I think oftentimes when people reach a certain age sometimes and they're not married, they might become slightly anxious. I think for women, oftentimes, I'm not biased, but that's just the scenario. For women, sometimes, you know, when they start getting older, sometimes one becomes a bit anxious. It's like, oh, I went to the wedding last week. When is it going to be my turn? And, you know, and sometimes maybe the aunties and the mothers, in-laws and everybody is like, oh, how are you doing? We're going to come to your wedding next. When? And, you know, the pressure is just there. And that can begin to make that person feel a bit anxious. It's like, you know, when is it going to happen for me? So the first thing, how should a Christian choose? Here it says, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So the first thing that you need to realize and that people need to realize is that God knows when it's time for you to marry. I'm telling you, he does. God knows when it is time for someone to get married. Adam was going about his business. He didn't even know that he needed a wife at that point. And it was God that was looking at this man. And he said, you know what? This man needs a wife. We can't find any. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a wife for him. And the thing is this. God is still in the business of matchmaking people together. I've met people who will say, which is quite funny. I've met people who say, you know what? I don't think I can come to your church because I'm a single woman. All the people in your church, they're all married. There are no prospects for me there. So you know what? I'm going to go to that next church. Man, there are a lot of really good looking brothers and sisters there. Do you understand? Now, am I saying that's bad? I'm not saying that's bad. But what I'm just saying is that in that instance, you are the one that is trying to organize your own meetings. But do you know that God is a master matchmaker? If you are in the desert, in the Sahara Desert, in a hut with some other, maybe like three families, the aborigine is there. God can organize it in such a way that he will fly your husband or your wife from Russia, from Italy, or it depends if you like the warm region, west, you know, he will do it in such a way that your husband or your wife, he will organize that meeting and you guys will meet. Do you understand? So the first thing we need to realize is that God knows when it is time for us to get married, and we need to rest in that. We need to rest in the point that, you know what, God has me covered. So, I mean, I know some stories. I know there's one story of one guy like this, and he went to this wedding. It was like the, the best man. And there was one other sister there who, that's not what she came to the wedding to do. And, you know, something happened and they just crossed eyes, and before you knew it, God, the matchmaker, was working. Do you understand? So many scenarios. I mean, there was this story I read about this lady. Her parents were missionaries. She was an American. They went back to America and she said, you know what? I want to go back into the mission field to a remote place. And I think people were saying, you know what? You're not going to find any good guys in that part of the jungle, you know? You know, you American. And she just said, you know what, right? I'm just going to do what I need to do. And she went on the mission and she was just doing what she was doing. And God organized another guy that I think maybe she had met a long time ago. And she liked the guy then. And he match made them in a far region, not in the States. Do you understand? So we need to understand that God is a matchmaker. Some people are smiling. God is a matchmaker in this. He's a very good one. Do you understand? So the next thing is this. So how should a Christian single choose who to marry? We've said one shouldn't be anxious because God is the one that match makes. The next thing is this. All right, so one wants to get married. You feel, okay, it's time, so on and so forth. What do? The next thing is you pray and let God choose a spouse for you. Now that sounds a bit, you know, like how can God choose a spouse for you? Come on. God, I mean, you see God here. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Proverbs 19, 14. Trusting in God to choose a spouse for you. It says, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So this begins to tell us that there are certain things that people can give you. There are certain things that you can achieve with the help of people. But when it comes to the matter of choosing a spouse, God is one that you should really allow to choose for you. So it says here, a prudent wife is from the Lord. We can, you know, put that in the opposite direction as well, that a prudent man is from the Lord. I was just thinking a while ago about this marriage thing. And do you know that Adolf Hitler, before he became what he became, the guy, I believe, from history, that he actually attended church for a while. He was part of a church, Adolf Hitler. Can you imagine if there was a sister in that church and said, "Woo, that Adolf Hitler, that guy is, he's the guy for me. He's so pious. He comes to church all the time. The guy is quiet. He was quiet. So, you know, gentle, so calm." She goes home and she says, "You know what? Mom, Dad, I found a guy. His name is Adolf. What's his surname? Hitler. And I love him so much." And they say, "Okay, no problem. Bring him over, bring him over, bring him over." And he's like, "Oh, hello, 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 parents of this lady. I'm Heike Hitler. I'm here. I love your daughter. And I'm here to propose to her." And they say, "Oh, fantastic. They get married. Then years later, someone just said that. Can you imagine if maybe the parents of the girl were Jews? Concentration camp straight away. So, we have a lot of scholars here. We'll talk after the service. So, can you imagine that kind of thing? She would have landed in the hands of that kind of man. So, the Bible begins to tell us that, look, in this business, really, you should let God choose for you, because you do not know what the future holds. God knows what the future is. Do you understand? So there might be a guy now that you see, or a girl, and is like, "Well, you know, it's not 100%. You know, I can just like." As long as you're sure that that's who God has planned for you, then go for it. So how should the Christian single choose who to marry? It says, "Don't be anxious. Leave it to, you know, leave to God to choose." Now, the last one I'm going to look at here on how do we choose? Now, for some people, although they might not really tell you, they'd be like, "You know what? Well, okay, Pastor, I understand what you're saying. I want God to choose for me, so on and so forth. But you know what? There's this feeling I have that the person that God will bring pass my way, am I not like that person? That person might have like a big afro and trousers here, you know, and you know what? Am I not really like that person? But you know, I don't want to be like, you know, you know what I mean?" You know, I don't really want someone that, you know, God, you know, and it's like, you're like, it's a big risk if God brings someone that I have no interest in. What do I do? But what did I say at the beginning? I said God is what? Master matchmaker. Genesis chapter 2 verse 23. Genesis chapter 2 verse 23. You know what happened when God brought Eve to Adam? You know? There was a response he had. And we're not there, but I can almost guarantee you how he said this. When God brought Adam and brought Eve to Adam and he saw her, do you know what he said? He said, the man said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." When Adam saw Eve, he said, "You know what?" Praise the Lord. He was so excited, and I don't think there were a lot of words in those days. He now said, "How can I express my excitement here?" He said, "You know what? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." So what that means is this. When God brings someone along your way, I'm telling you, that is the same reaction that you'll have. I'm telling you, it will not be someone that will be like, "Okay, you know, okay, okay." No. It won't be like that. It'll be like, "Wow." Now, if it's not wow initially, let me classify that. You know, some people are really British. What do I mean by that? They don't get excited. So you bring something along the way, that, you know, something that is like, you know, really exciting to them. They'll just give you like the proper British. All right, Chubby, now that's an interesting looking sister. Okay, thank you. You know, they're like that, but they're really excited. So, but what am I saying here? I'm saying that God will bring someone that you're attracted to. You know what I mean? God will bring someone that you're attracted to. So, if you know these three things that God is saying, don't be anxious. For people who are not married, who are looking to marry, don't be anxious. God organizes the thing and God will bring you someone that you're really attracted to. Don't you think that's a good deal? I would say it's a good deal. Do you get what I mean? Now, I'm just going to close in about 5 minutes. You've said, who should a Christian single not get married to? Who should a Christian single marry? How should the single Christian choose? So the last thing I'm just going to look at is, so what really should be the focus of someone who is a Christian single? Should they be like, you know, looking for a spouse all over the place? Not really. Three things. While one is single or, you know, still, you know, coming up, the Bible says that God put Adam in the garden to work. He's saying that one should develop some sort of career or some sort of trade. Do you understand? So that when you get married, you can look after your wife. And even for the women, if you don't have to turn there, Proverbs chapter 31, it describes a virtuous woman, a woman who wasn't just lazy. The Bible says she did things as well. Do you understand? So it's an opportunity for us to really work on what we want to be. If you want to be, you know, a carpenter, go for it. If you want to be an engineer, go for it. If you want to be like any, whatever it is, you should spend that time going for it. So that's the first thing. The second thing as well, Bible says here in John chapter 17, verse 3, for a Christian single, it's that time that one should really spend getting to know God more. So the Bible says here, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. It's a time that you should spend trying to know God more. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. It says something there. It says, and for someone who is married, it says his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in her body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. So what this is saying is that as a Christian single, you have more time. You can do whatever you want, so to speak. I mean, before I got married, I could do, you know, go out, come back whenever, go to all the church meetings, from meeting to meeting to meeting. But after you get married, man, you have to go home. Maybe there's a woman, a mother. Before you got married, you could, you know, just stay and read your Bible and pray. But now you've got kids. And they're crying, mommy, mommy, I need food. So what it's just saying is that marriage is good, but the truth of marriage is that once you get married, there are quite a few things that will be slightly restrictive. I mean, you can't just wake up and say, you know what, there, you have three kids and your wife, and you just wake up and say, you know what, there, tomorrow morning I booked a mission ticket to Kenya. I'll be there for 3 months and I'll see you later, my dear. It is the Lord's work. And you know what the Bible says? Do the Lord's work. Bye. I mean, come on. You can't do that. As a single, you can't. So it says it's a time for us to know God. Now, lastly, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. So this is saying that, again, as a Christian single, what one should be doing is developing godly character. Letting the Lord process you, touch all those areas and fine-tune all those areas in your life. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this, there's no law. Saying, at that time, let God work on your character. Let God work on you so that you can be a better person. All right, so I'm going to stop there today. So we've looked at who a Christian single should not marry. Number two, who they should marry, how they should choose, and what the Christian single should focus on. So with that, I rest my case today. And I'd just like us to just rise up and pray together.